is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It's Carlin, ESPN Radio. That's what it is. 888-SAY-ESPN. Your way to be a part of ESPN Radio Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Wow, what a performance by Sam Darnold and the Carolina Panthers last night, even after they lose their best player in Christian McCaffrey and one of their bright young stars on defense in J.C. Horn. Unbelievable. I sat here yesterday and told you how the Panthers can go 7-1 in their first 8 games. God, I'm excited. Oh, dear God. No, I'm not. They're 3-0 against two bad football teams and a letdown from the Saints. And Sam Darnold is it's a nice story. He's playing well. But let's get to the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. This isn't about Sam Darnold, guys. This is about the fact that the Carolina Panther defense has played exceptionally well and is going to play well when they have a bad football team on the other side. This is why they're 3-0. Their schedule, I don't know that there's another NFL team whose schedule sets up better for them in the first half of the year than Carolina. Up next is a trip to Dallas, but after that, things really get much more manageable, and they could still be staring 7-1. Probably not as likely now without McCaffrey, but at the very least, 6-2 for a team that people really didn't know if they should expect very much from. You got Philadelphia and Minnesota at home after that, and then the Giants and Atlanta on the road. Hello, they are right there in that division. They're going to be behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they're going to be a team with a very, very good record who doesn't even have to face Tampa Bay until week 16. I did not stutter. The Carolina Panthers do not play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers until week 16, and they play them twice in the last 3 weeks of the season. That's absolutely absurd. But for as much as we want to make this about how well Sam Darnold played last night, can we talk about the fact that the Panthers' pass rush is incredibly difficult to deal with? We have spent time detailing just how good that Washington front is, but look at what's going on here with Hassan Reddick, who's got 1.5 sacks in each of his first 3 games and has really broken out the last 2 seasons to be the player that the Cardinals thought they were drafting a few years ago out of Temple, and that Matt Rhule now know that he has after he coached him at Temple, and Brian Burns, who's already got 3 sacks on the season. This is a really, really good defense. Losing J.C. Horn is obviously bad. Lost him to a broken foot, maybe not for the year, but certainly for a considerable amount of time, and now no Christian McCaffrey with a bad hamstring. Even without McCaffrey, things can really go their way. But there has been so much focus placed on Darnold, and I understand why, after what's transpired in the first 3 years of his career versus what's going on right now. Here is Matt Rhule, the Panthers head coach, last night on the moxie Darnold has. Okay, easy on protecting the football. He did cough it up twice last night in getting strip sacked and had his own offensive lineman recover it in a rather fortuitous fashion. So easy on protecting the football. However, the most impressive aspect of Sam Darnold last night was the fact that even after those strip sacks early in the game, after everything he's been through the last few years, that he wasn't this time seeing ghosts after that. That easily could have happened. You know, Troy Aikman spent time on the broadcast talking about how impressive Davis Mills was and continuing to look down the field even when pressure was in his face. You know, Sam was doing the exact same thing, and that's why he has thrown for 300 yards in 2 consecutive weeks. But nobody is talking about the off-season surgery that Sam had. It's a little, it's not discussed nearly enough. But when Sam had that immense malignant growth removed, known as Adam Gase, that was more important than any off-season surgery that any player in the NFL had. Sam Darnold with Adam Gase the last couple of years, it has been a nightmare. The Jets have had very little talent around him, yes, but Adam Gase does not develop quarterbacks and never did. You talk about one of the all-time snake oil salesmen in the NFL, it was Adam Gase because he had Peyton Manning in his corner. Peyton Manning was more than happy to make calls for Gase because he helped him when he was in Denver, and he felt like Gase was going to be somebody that was going to be a good head coach because he carried his water? I don't know exactly. But the one thing we do know is that Gase went to Miami, and while Ryan Tannehill was banged up for exactly half the time he was there, he also did not play well under Adam Gase. Not at all. And now Gase went to New York, and Darnold was there, and that's not any coincidence what transpired with Darnold. Think about this from a Tannehill perspective, just to give you a little bit of context as to why you might be seeing Darnold play so much better right now. Ryan Tannehill, when you include the years before Gase got there and the years since in Tennessee, without Adam Gase, has 143 touchdowns and 68 interceptions. So better than 2-1. With Adam Gase as his head coach and quarterback mentor and offensive coordinator, 36 touchdowns, 21 picks. That is not good. And if you want to take it a step further and knock out those first few years in the league when he was still learning before Gase even got there, what he's done in Tennessee since? 56 touchdowns and 14 picks. That was a major, major problem in the development of Darnold in New York and Tannehill before him. It was about Adam Gase. So him being gone and now working with Joe Brady, and as you heard Matt Rhule talk about last night, working well within the system, it has all played to his strengths. Yes, having McCaffrey certainly helped, and it was impressive that he was able to get it done for the most part without him last night. Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore is a tremendous receiver in this league, a tremendous player. Even Marshall, as a youngster, is a really good player. He has talent to work with. The offensive line hasn't been great, but that's something that Sam is plenty used to. But now the Panthers have to deal with the much larger concern, and that is Christian McCaffrey's injury. Here is Matt Rhule on the status of McCaffrey after the game last night. You know that that is not going to be good for the next few weeks at the very least. That is not something that heals overnight, and it's a big blow to Carolina. There's no getting around what kind of a player he has been and how they missed him last year. After he went down, they've got a big concern on their hands, but the best thing that they can have that would help heal that problem on the field while he's out is a great pass rush. And the Carolina Panthers have an outstanding pass rush. Remember that. A pass rush with game-wrecking type talent can completely cover other mistakes that or other shortcomings you have on both sides of the ball. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I know we have talked about it a lot. You know that if I wasn't married, I would marry the Los Angeles Rams this year. I would absolutely do that if I could. The Rams are going to be an excellent team all season long. And this weekend, the Buccaneers are 1-point favorites on the road in Los Angeles. Folks, this is an NFC Championship game preview. Make no mistake about it. I don't know that the Rams at the end of the year are going to be able to get home, but in the short term, they have some really interesting questions that need to get answered, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And they're going to get answered this Sunday. First of all, Matt Stafford. You know that I believe he will be the MVP of the league. And he gets a chance to go up against a defense that, frankly, has been underwhelming in its first couple of weeks this season. And last year played very, very well under Todd Bowles, got him a big extension. And they were able to bring back all of the starters on that defensive side of the ball. Really, really good front. Stafford knows that he will have a massive challenge in front of him come Sunday. Here he is this week. Well, guess what, though? For Matt Stafford, this is not the game where he wins the MVP. He's not the most important player on the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. There are two others, and they're on the other side of the ball. One of them is Aaron Donald, who if you have watched him in the first couple of weeks, has actually let a few sacks get away from him. He has not played his best as of right now. Look, Aaron Donald's the best defensive player in football. But this Sunday, with Tom Brady, with an excellent offensive line, even though he is the best player on the defensive side in football, this has got to be an Aaron Donald game. This has got to be a game where he controls it up front and makes life miserable for Brady. And I believe that it will be a game that he has an effect on. And he will make a game-changing play in this game that will give the Rams a win. You know who else is a big part of this as well? Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey is the best corner in football. Can we agree on that? If he's not, he's right there. And you can be the best in the game at a certain time, but are you going to be on that next level? Are you going to be the elite level corner? Games like this, they're how you get there. Jalen Ramsey on Sunday, making life miserable for Patriots receivers, who, yes, are slightly improved, or Patriots, the Buccaneers receivers, who, yes, are slightly concerned without Antonio Brown on the field. But at the same time, when you have what they have in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Gronk, they're always going to have another option, right? Jalen Ramsey, the opportunities, I think, are going to be there. I want to know if Brady's just going to ignore him the entire time. And I'm not even going anywhere near him. Because if they early start that way, I will fully, fully expect that they will start to move Jalen around a little bit on a few different receivers. And they'll want to get him in some opportunities to make some big plays. This is very, very interesting to me. It's not all about Stafford this week. It's about the guys who on the other side of the ball actually have the big playability to affect Brady in a very negative way. I'm very much looking forward to watching this game. The Chargers and Chiefs is another game. Boy, I don't get it. I don't get it. The Chargers are not getting respect, and I understand that they're 1-1. But look at what's transpired so far. You have a couple of touchdowns called back last week. Could have won that game very easily. Didn't. Credit the Cowboys. But you're going to Kansas City, and the Chiefs, as great as they are, they play close games. This is a 6.5-point spread. And if I were a gambling man, and guess what? I am. I would be on the Chargers in the points in this game. There, to me, absolutely have to be some real concerns for the Kansas City Chiefs, because it feels like, even as good as they are, with the best quarterback in all of football, if not the best player, you still have to be concerned about every time that you play with fire and when are you actually going to get burned. Here's Todd Haley, the former Chiefs head coach, asked by Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning if there are real concerns for the Chiefs. I got news for you. Justin Herbert's going to have a massive, massive day on Sunday. And if I'm wrong, you can come back and rip me to death on Monday. Actually, you can't. But that doesn't matter. With Justin Herbert being able to have a big day on Sunday, this will be a 39, 36, 41, 38 kind of a game. And I do believe that come Sunday night, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be 1-2. And we're going to sit here next week and say, what's wrong with the Chiefs? What has gone horribly awry? I'll tell you, that's a really good one. And then one yesterday that got me sucked in, frankly, because of what Lewis Riddick had to say on the show, talking about the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles are a lot better than people understand. And you're going to see that on Monday night when the Eagles visit the Cowboys. I have been an advocate of Jalen Hurts since he was drafted by the Eagles. Little known fact that I'll share with you. Jalen Hurts was a Doug Peterson selection. At the time, Doug Peterson wanted somebody to push Carson Wentz. He felt as if Carson Wentz, with all of the last few years, even with all of his injuries, was entirely too comfortably entrenched as the starting quarterback and needed to be pushed. So he kept pushing the front office. Go get this guy. Go get this guy. And Howie Roseman relented. They draft Jalen Hurts. He ends up playing quite a bit last year because of the injuries to Wentz. And now he's their starter this year. Another little tidbit for you. I'm not remotely convinced that Howie Roseman, the Eagles GM, wants Jalen Hurts to be the long-term solution. I think he wants Deshaun Watson. And I think they have put themselves in position to make a big trade once that situation gets ironed out with his legal side. That will not be necessary. Jalen Hurts is the future of the Philadelphia Eagles. And Jalen Reagor is somebody that you didn't hear word one from last year because of injuries and such. But in year two, he looks every bit the part as Devontae Smith looks every bit the part. That could be a potent 1-2 punch for the Eagles for a long time. I think the Eagles are going to give the Cowboys every bit they can handle come Monday night. They may not win the game, but you will realize, like Lewis Riddick said yesterday, and I'm with him on this, the Eagles are not bad. They're not great, but they're closer to good than we all realize. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. You know, I get frustrated because I've made what I would say the calculated risk of being in three fantasy football leagues this year. And I have to tell you, it's torture every Sunday. I've got to root for a guy in one league and then root against him in another. It's a nightmare. You know who's going to help me sleep better? The guy who joins us next. The insight you need. Field Yates, host of the Fantasy Focus podcast, coming up in just moments, and of course, NFL Insider. How great is it when you get to choose your favorite movie to watch? Well, ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply lets you pick your favorites from the best candidates. ZipRecruiter sends you qualified candidates, and you can easily invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, Senior VP of Talent Acquisition for Mindola Health, raves about ZipRecruiter's Invite to Apply. She says, I love the fact that we have this feature because we have a much higher follow-through rate if I invite candidates to apply. Go to ZipRecruiter.com to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com. All the answers you could ever need, they're next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Rough night for Christian McCaffrey owners in fantasy football. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80 and on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio. He is the host of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. He is the NFL insider. He is Field Yates, who joins us right now on ESPN Radio. Field, Chris Carlin, what's going on, man?
Chris, how are you, my friend? Always good to catch up with you, and I've enjoyed our recent Friday chat.
It has been fun, and I'm curious, out of your, 10 leagues we talked about last week, how many did you own McCaffrey in?
Yeah, I only have him in one league. Christian McCaffrey obviously was going with that first pick in basically any format, so most of the leagues that I play in are minimum 10 teams, so getting that first pick is, that's a 1 in 10 chance or a 1 in 12 chance. So I suppose, fortunately, I only had him in one, but difficult news, obviously, for Christian McCaffrey, who is the MVP of fantasy football.
When you see this kind of injury, and it's the hamstring, we always know that these are tricky fields. When you are monitoring this situation, what are you looking for here over the next few weeks before you start to feel better about him?
Yeah, honestly, just concrete information. I think you're going to hear a lot of speculation. You're going to hear a lot of, it could be this, it could be that. Well, until I know something definitively, you're going to have to kind of be patient here. And, we hope the best for Christian McCaffrey. We hope that he's back within a handful of weeks here, but maybe sooner than that. But it certainly sounds like it could be a while before we see Christian McCaffrey, which is just devastating news for a guy that, in a league full of very, very talented skill players, he is the most useful in all of fantasy football.
Field Yates, NFL insider, the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, joins us right now. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. Field, Tony Pollard in Dallas making things very difficult for Ezekiel Elliott owners. What's your read on this situation?
Yeah, as much as Tony Pollard looked really good last week, one thing is still very clear. It's Zeke's backfield in Dallas. He has still been by far the highest percentage of snaps on the field amongst their running backs. He's still dominating the overall touches. Certainly saw more from Tony Pollard last week, but I think last week was more about just how talented Tony Pollard is, not about how they're changing their role with Zeke Elliott. It's not that every team needs to make decisions exclusively based off how much money a player makes. But one thing is clear, the Cowboys are pot committed to Zeke Elliott. And while Pollard was great last week, Zeke was good in his own right as well. So it's not as if Pollard will be taking over for a player who looks like he's washed or done. Zeke's a good player. This is a good problem the Cowboys have on their hands.
Okay, so Ezekiel Elliott owners, do not panic. That's the message.
No panic here. Continue to hold steady with Zeke. He should be, this is a tough matchup this week against Philadelphia. He's got an outstanding run defense, but you should feel really good about Zeke Elliott in your lineup every single week.
How would you feel about Justin Fields as quarterback one for the Chicago Bears? Is this going to be an improved situation for their offense?
It might take a little while for the offense, only because it's not like they were great the first 2 weeks in the passing game. I think that Allen Robinson's value is probably where it has been. He's a really, really good player, and he's gotten the job done with really inferior quarterbacks so many times over the course of the week. And it's over the course of his career, I should say. I mean, he's played a ton, and he's played with bad quarterbacks. So it sounds like, for the most part, I think you should expect a similar value for Allen Robinson, but Justin Fields is really the one that has a chance to be a needle mover on Sunday, because we've seen rookie quarterbacks come in and make an immediate splash in fantasy football. Jalen Hurts did it last year. Kyler Murray did it 2 years ago. Justin Herbert did it last year. So I can't wait to see what happens with Justin Fields on Sunday. And I'm sure Bears fans are feeling the exact same way.
Field Yates with us, NFL insider, Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Field, I'm one of these guys that bought into the hype on Kyle Pitts, and it's been okay so far, but is this a guy that at some point this year will have so many favorable matchups that he will turn into a dominant tight end, or is that still going to be a ways off?
Yeah, I think I'm encouraged with what I've seen so far, to be honest with you, with Kyle Pitts. I mean, it's not exactly – it's not his issue that, you know, some of the things that have taken place in Atlanta are certainly well with well outside of his power. So I get the feeling that that Kyle Pitts should be somebody you should be feeling good about. The overall usage is pretty solid. His skill set is very, very apparent. That much we know is obvious from his time at Florida in the first couple of weeks here in the NFL. And tight ends are really hard to find, right? We've seen it this year. Even a guy like George Kittle, who's normally a lock in your lineup, has been really quiet so far. So I think if I'm somebody that rosters or manages Kyle Pitts, you feel outstanding right now about the outlook going forward.
This is an odd question, but Raj Groves, our producer, brought it up, and it's a great question. Is Daniel Jones a better fantasy quarterback than a real-life quarterback? And we ask that because
–
yeah, he's got more points than Stafford, Carr, Dak, Josh Allen, and Aaron Rodgers so far.
Totally. I mean, it's 100% the case. And that's not to say that he can't become a good NFL quarterback. I thought he looked awesome last Thursday night against the Washington football team. He's a you know, he's an improving player in some ways. It's just got to be consistent over the course of a stretch that's longer than just a few games. But as a fantasy player, he's excellent. He's got 21-plus fantasy points in each of his two games this year. And what was most encouraging last week in fantasy football was that he had six designed runs, six of them for Daniel Jones last week. And he's one of the best athletes playing quarterback. And we've got a lot of great athletes playing quarterback right now. So seeing that from Daniel Jones was good news all the way around.
Odell Beckham, are you putting him in your starting lineup this week? The reports are that he is expected to play.
No, I'm not going to play Odell Beckham Jr. this weekend in my lineup. You obviously haven't for the first 2 weeks. You've been getting by with somebody else. You know, if you've been really desperate, then that's fine. But you think about how Odell's performed with the Browns since he got there. It's been uneven at best, right? There's been some flash moments, and he certainly looked great from time to time. He's an incredibly talented player, but it hasn't been consistent in Cleveland. I wouldn't be surprised if this remains one of the most balanced teams, not just in terms of run versus pass, but also, you look at their targets. I mean, they lead the NFL in terms of tight end utilization so far in the passing game this year. Wouldn't surprise me if the running backs are, as they always are, involved in the passing game, specifically Kareem Hunt, and then a bunch of different wide receivers. So, nope, I don't think that that this is a week that I'm thinking, you know, long and hard about starting Odell Beckham Jr., unless I really have to.
Last one for Field Yates, NFL insider, host of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Field, what is the... is there an under-the-radar storyline this weekend that you in particular are paying attention to outside of, you know, the really big games, the Bucs and the Rams and such?
Under-the-radar? No, I don't think so. I mean, it comes to mind right off the top of my head, not necessarily. I mean, I think the big storyline this weekend is Justin Fields and how he performs this weekend. You know, probably just some of these running backs that might step into a starting role, whether it's Sony Michel, if Daryl Henderson sits, maybe it's how the, you know, the Colts pass catchers are impacted if Carson Wentz sits, maybe whether Teddy Bridgewater can once again put together a great, great weekend for the Denver Broncos. But there's not an obvious one that I think is really the one that I'm latching onto for this weekend. I think that, as always, early in the season, you got to kind of balance, all right, hey, This looks good for 1 week, but is it consistent over the course of the year?
My estimation, after Sunday or after Monday night, this is panic time. If you're going to 0-3, this is panic time in not just NFL, but more importantly, Field, in fantasy football. And I'm headed there in a couple of leagues right now. I'm a little bit concerned.
Sounds like you need some luck then, my friend, and good luck this weekend. The good news is, the only thing that that feels better than winning, you're following your real team watch or watching your real team win a game is watching your fantasy team win a matchup. So good luck to you, my friend.
I appreciate it, Field. Have a great weekend.
Right back to you, Chris.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider and host of the Fantasy Football Podcast. College football is back, my friends. Tune in tomorrow night. Florida hosting Tennessee, one of the great SEC rivalries, presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Up next, oh yeah, you know what it is. It's time for a little say what I don't have a whole lot of timber's not the word. I don't have the falsetto as much in my voice today. But today's Say What apparently involves the Muppets on Sesame Street. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles. 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. That's right. I'm sure to be embarrassed. Next, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Field Yates joined us via the Goodyear Hotline with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your Dr. Pepper call in line. We get to your calls shortly on the great matchups this weekend. And if, in fact, the Rams are capable of beating the Buccaneers. But first, Say What? Again, falsetto limited today, Raj Grobes. So I gave you
that's
what I have.
Right. That's what's okay, in the tank. But that's what's in the tank. Well, hey, it's the late, great Jim Henson's birthday today. Of course, responsible for the Muppets or Sesame Street. So it got me thinking of a tough choice. And I'm going to have to ask you, Chris, the Muppets or Sesame Street? You got to pick one.
Oh, the Muppets. There's no question I am a huge Muppet guy. And I don't want the guys out front. I want the ancillary Muppet characters that are the best ones. Animal is amazing. Obviously, Beaker is one of the great characters that there is. And Sam the Eagle doing the news is just off the charts great. What about you?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's the Muppets and the two old guys up in the balcony just cracked me up. Even as a kid, I got their dry sense of humor and how, you know, and just always in a bad mood. They cracked me up. I love that. Yeah. B, wait, real quick, what you got? Sesame Street or Muppets?
Yeah, I'd probably go Muppets.
Okay. All right.
Convincing. All right. Dynamite drop in, Bubba.
I can't go wrong either way.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, check this out. You know, the NFL is going to extend their wild card weekend, as the league announced Friday that one of its six first round playoff games will be on Monday. What do you think about it?
I absolutely love it. And I don't want to hear people complaining already about their team having a short week. You will not be complaining when it's somebody else and you have a playoff game to watch Monday night. But when it's your team, shut up. I think it's great. I think it's amazing. I think it's exactly what they should be doing. And once again, it proves that the NFL gets it above all else.
Yeah, that's true. I like it as well. I like it as well. Hey, you know, it's National One-Hit Wonder Day. What's one of your favorite one-hit wonders, a song or indoor artist, man? Oh, what do you got there?
You know, The Reason, Hoobastank? No, I would go with... I would probably go with 8675309 Jenny.
Nice.
That's solid. Oh. Or Come On, Eileen. How can you not with Dexy's Midnight Runners?
True.
What you got,
you know that number, that phone number real quick. If you go to any store and you have to have a phone number to get the discounts.
You always put that in?
I think of that song and it's the area code in that song and it works every time. Go ahead, B. What's the one hit wonder you like?
You know, I'm going to go the Monster Mash. Great,
really?
great holiday theme song, but great Halloween song.
Oh. All right. When did you turn 71?
2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
You know, mine, I love Falco. Remember Amadeus? For some reason, I was just so infatuated with that song as a kid. The video, and he was rapping and stuff. Oh. You know, I like that one.
Worst of all time, How Bizarre. Oh, my God, I hate that song. I cannot get that out of my head for 2 weeks after hearing it.
Awful, awful. All right, hey, and who needs this win more? Let's go to the college football field. Chris, who needs to win more this week, Notre Dame or Wisconsin?
Wisconsin needs this win more. The thing about Notre Dame is if you lose a game, they're always getting the benefit of the doubt because they're Notre Dame, and that's the problem with Notre Dame. They always seem to think they're Notre Dame or something. I think Wisconsin needs this more just for their own psyche. Graham Mertz at quarterback has not been great so far, and Jack Cohn leaving town and going to Notre Dame, and they're 3-0 so far. I would say that Wisconsin needs this win more than Notre Dame. What do you got, Ben?
All right, fair enough.
Baba, you got Notre Dame or you got Wisconsin?
That was to me? Oh, yeah. I'm going to go Wisconsin.
All right. Raj?
Yeah. I didn't know they played. I just looked at the schedule and saw something else. So I'll go with Wisconsin.
Nice. I love it. By the way, there will be soccer on Saturday. There will be an excellent Wisconsin turnout in Chicago, as you would expect. It's about the only place you could play Notre Dame in a neutral game. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio.